camping towards Canaan's land. What a wonderful thing to be doing, you know, camping towards Canaan's land. You know, because camping means that you're actually out there doing something. You know, it's an activity that you do, right? And if you camping towards Canaan's land, that means that's where you want to go. That's where you want to end up. You know, it's so good to be back in front of you on this evening. It's good to have Brother Leggett in the house this evening. You know, we have Sister Stewart in the house this morning. Now we have Brother Leggett in the house this evening. And then we want to thankful for our visitors on this evening. Brother Foster. Yes, from 61st. Amen. Amen. Glad to have you with us on this evening. And then the other visitors will be recognized a little bit later on. This evening we want to begin looking at Jude. Jude was a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I spent some time this morning talking about being a servant. Saying that we all are servants, right? You know, servants, we all are. It all just depends on who's our master, right? We all are servants. We just got to figure out who's our master, right? Well, Jude said that he's a servant of Jesus Christ, you know, the brother of James, which is a good thing. And he goes on to say that to them that are sanctified by the God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Mm-hmm. Then in verse number 3, he begins, says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. See, you know, that's what all the brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who are in Christ, we have a common salvation, a common hope, right? A common love, right? We all are going to the same direction. We're literally trying to get there, right? All to the same direction. And that's what Jude was going to write about. But then he says that it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Once delivered unto the saints. You know, Jude felt he had one purpose in his heart that he was going to write about our common salvation. And then he felt that it was needful to write to them that they should earnestly contend for the faith. And his reasoning for that, you can find in verse number 4. He says, For there are certain men creeped in unaware, who was before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning away the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God of our Lord and Jesus Christ. See, these were ungodly men that had creeped in among them. Ungodly men creeping in among them. And he says that we have to earnestly contend for the faith. You know, see, creeping in unnoticed, right? You know, it's not that they were hiding per se, right? They could have been like the Bible says, like sheep. Like wolves in sheep clothing, right? So, you know, they seem to be friendly, right? They look good, right? Smell good, right? But underneath all of that, right, they're wolves. They're wolves. And so Jude was telling us that we need to contend for the faith, right? We need to stand firm on what thus says the Lord, what the faith that we were delivered, right? You know, the New Testament makes it clear that we need to, that it makes it clear that our fight is not against flesh, right? But it's against the domains of Satan. You know, this is a spiritual battle, both individually and collectively. Both individually and collectively, right? And collectively, we all must fight this spiritual battle. We all must contend for the faith. Now, you know, we can't, what it means is that we cannot just be passive about our service to God. We just can't just be attending church, you know, sitting on the pews, right, waiting for a positive response, right, waiting for something good to happen to us, right, waiting for someone to come say, are you a Christian, and you to say, yes, I'm a Christian, right? We just can't sit around and do that. That's not contending for the faith. See, contending for the faith is action. There's some action in that. There's some action that calls for us to have, to be aggressively, right, telling people about our faith, right? And see, we aggressively tell people not only with our words, but our behavior. The way we act, right? That's how we aggressively tell people by our words and our behavior, you know? And see, faith is not what we personally believe per se, and it's not our personal experience of our personal salvation, right? Instead, faith represents what thus says the Lord from the God's word, right? Now, what you personally believe, it lines up with God's word. It's okay, right? But I just say that, right? Because sometimes we kind of believe things from what we've been told, right? What we heard in our past, right? You know, what our mothers and fathers, you know, they meant all good to us, right? But they could have taught us some things, and we're holding on to those things, right? We're holding on to those things, right? You know, from our own experience, right? We're holding on to some things, right? And those things, whether we may not realize it, could be contrary to the word of God. So, you know, we can't go on what we personally believe, right? Or what through our personal experience, right? We have to go on what thus says the Lord. What thus says the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that you know, Jesus Christ himself walked upon this earth. And he set the pattern. He set the pattern, you know. He taught the apostles, right? And apostles followed that pattern, right, and taught others. And that's how it's been passed down from generation to generation, right? You know, the one good thing that we have that apostles didn't have is the word of God, right? But even though we have the word of God, right, that is still taught from one person to another. Right? Because the Bible says you have to hear the word, right? You got to be taught of the word, right? So we have to be taught. It goes from one generation to another. We're teaching people. We're passing it down from one generation to another what thus says the Lord. You know, in this teaching, we as recipients of this teaching, we must verify that this teaching that we're receiving is actually coming from the word of God. Actually coming from the word of God. You see, you can't contend for nothing, right? You can't contend for the faith, right? If you're not assured where your faith is standing on, right? You can't contend for that, right? But what the Bible is telling us is that we need to be assured that our faith, our pattern of sound teaching comes from the Bible. You know, this faith that's been passed down from generation to generation is complete and has been given once for all. You know, now that the Bible is complete, now that we have the word of God, it's in there. We don't, nothing else needs to be added, right? The Bible says we have everything that we need, right, to live righteous in this present age, right in the Bible. You know, and so now that we have been in the last days, right, the Bible makes it clear to us, you know, over in 2 Timothy in verse number chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's turn over there for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us a little bit of something of how things are going to be happening in the last days in which we are in, right? Some things that we need to be watching for, right? Things that can be creeping in to the church, right? You know, and so let's take a look at that. Chapter 3, if I can get a brother to read for me.
But know this.
Know this in the latest days, he must be reading from perilous times shall come. Okay, go ahead. Be lovers of themselves. Go ahead.
Lovers of money.
Okay.
Boasters.
Boasters, okay. Proud.
Blasphemers.
Disobedient to parents.
Unthankful.
Unholy.
Unloving.
Unforgiving.
Slanders.
Without self-control. And displeasers of God. These are the types of attitudes, right, that men and women are going to have, right? And what's going to happen, what's happening is that these type of attitudes will infiltrate the church, will come into the church, you know, because you know, that's what's going to happen, right? And see, it's up to each and every one of us to contend for the faith. To contend for the faith. You see, when these types of things come into the church, right? You know, we have to respond. Yeah. Contending for the faith, yeah. Right? Yeah. Means that when something is contrary to God's word, we need to stand up for the word of God. We need to stand up for the word of God. You know, when people are lovers of themselves, you know, they don't really care about God. Right. They don't really care about God's people. Right. You know, all they care about is themselves. Yeah. Making themselves look good. Mm-hmm. Right. Telling you about what they have done. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And when we see that type of behavior, we have to understand that is not of God. Oh. Right. They don't have God as their best. God's interest is not their best interest. Amen. Right. Their interest in themselves. Do it to make themselves look good. You know, all the spotlight they can get on themselves. You know? And then another one that the Bible talks about is lovers of money. Yeah. Right? Lovers of money. Yeah. In the last day, men are going to be lovers of money. Yeah. Once again, you know, even though the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says, right? But in the last day, men are going to be lovers of money. Right? Yeah. Not caring about what thus says the Lord. Right? All they want is money. They're concerned about money. How they can get money. How they can keep money. How they can stop money from flowing out of their pockets, right? You know, but God tells us what? That it's more blessed to give than receive, right? And that's and men that are lovers of money, that's contrary to what God says, right? God says give. It's more blessed to give, right? So a Christian wants to give. He wants to give these things, give what he has, give love, right? He's not going to hold on to it, right? He's not worried about how to get it, right? He's worried about giving it. Amen. You know? And then there's always pride and ego, right? Yeah. Being proudful, right? You know, that's what we're going to have in the church in the last days. Men are going to sneak in, right? And I just want to say that even though the Bible says men, that's men generically, right? It's men and women. I just want to let everybody know that, right? Men and women, right? Men and women. It's an attitude, right? It's a position that people are going to take, right? They're going to be proudful, right? They want to establish, you know, what they want, right? They want to do it their way. You know, they're not interested in the way of God. They're interested in their way. You know, and then the Bible talks about being disobedient to parents. Oh, man. Oh, man, we got plenty of that going on. Plenty of that going on. Plenty of that going on. And going on in the church. Going on in the church, right? Because that's what we're talking about, right? We see it in the world, right? You can flip on the TV, right? And watch children, all kinds of things about children going on, right? But we're talking about in the church, getting into the church, right? And we know that that's ungodly. You know that that's ungodly, right? And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Unthankful, unholy, wicked, right? Yeah. Right? Liars, you know. The list just goes on and on and on. False accusers, slanderous, right? Because these things are things of the world. Yes, sir. These things are men and women who are going to creep into the church, right? But we need to be watching. We need to be watching for these things. We need to understand that we're in the last days, right? And these things are going to creep into the church. So what do we do? How do we contend? You know, how do we contend? First of all, over in Jude in chapter, in verse 17 and 19 tells us that, first of all, right, we need to realize that these things are true. We need to realize these things are true, right? You know, so these things, when they start happening, it shouldn't catch you by surprise. You know, you shouldn't be saying, oh, man, how did this happen, right? Oh, man, what's going on here, right? Oh, man, I never heard of this before, right? I never seen of this before, right? Well, the Bible tells you. The Bible tells you these things are going to happen. That's what it says, right? It says these things are going to happen, right? And so you need to realize that when it begin to happen to you, when you begin to bear witness to it, right? Don't get shaken, right? Don't get dropped. Don't lose your faith over it, right? Because it's happening to you, right? You need to be strong and contend for the faith. Now, what the Bible tells us, in verse 20 and 21, one of the first things we ought to do is pray. You know, we forget about praying. How effective prayer is, right? You know, we see situations, we see problems, right? And we don't take the time to just sit down and pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God, say, God, move me in a certain direction. God, what it is you want me to do? God, I'm your servant. I see what's going on. What is it that you want me to do about this? You see, and the Bible tells us that we have to understand that this warfare that we are fighting, right, the nature of this warfare we're fighting, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, it tells us about that, right? It tells us again and again over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, right? You know, it tells us about this warfare that we're fighting, right? It's not of this world, right? It is not carnal, right? But see, you know, what happens is that we begin to say, oh, yeah, I know how to handle this, right? I know what to do, right? We need to first sit down and pray. Amen. And pray about these things. And then we need to understand that we are not fighting a battle that can be won with our physical ability. Mm-hmm. Not our physical ability. We have to use the spiritual weapons that are at our disposal. The spiritual weapons that are at our disposal. See, sometimes, a lot of times, you know, what we do, we intend to do a good thing, right? We want to do what God tells us to do, right? But we go about doing it, and we step outside of the will of God. You know, we want to do a good thing, we want to do what's right, but we step outside the will of God, right? Because we are not looking at this from a spiritual point of view. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, right? The weaponry that's available to us. The weaponry that's available to us. It says, the first thing is gird up with truth. Yeah. See, we need to dig into the Word of God. That's the truth, right? We need to dig into the Word of God. Mm-hmm. See, those people who come among us, right? They don't have the truth with them, right? And you need to know the truth, right? So you can spot, you need to know the truth so you can spot when they're saying something wrong, right? You need to know the truth so you can spot when they're saying something wrong. And so when you know where it is in the Bible, right, and you can go help them with the truth. Yeah. Amen? Amen? The Bible tells us we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah. That means we need to make sure that we're in a right relationship with God. Amen. You know, that's what that's all about, right? Amen. We need to make sure that we're in a right relationship with God. That means our attitude has to be in the right place, mm-hmm. You know? Our attitude has to be in the right place. That means our objective for when we go to these people, right, it's not about belittling them. It's not about making them look bad, right? It's about defending the faith. It's about defending the faith, right? That's what it's about, defending the faith. And then the Bible goes on to tell us that we need to have the feet sod with the gospel of peace. Feet sod with the gospel of peace, right? It means we have to be willing to go. Go, take the gospel out to people, right? Willing to go to people and talk to them about the gospel, right? You know, once you establish your relationship with Jesus Christ and you understand what the truth is all about, right? You need to be able to go and have the shield of the faith, the helmet of salvation, and most importantly, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. You know, and then it tells us that we need to pray. Once again, we need to pray. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in Jude verse 21 says, keep yourself in love, in the love of God. Mm-hmm. Keep yourself in the love of God. You know, that's so important, right? Because we go through things and we go up and down, just like a mountain, right? Sometimes we feeling pretty good. Sometimes we feeling pretty bad, right? You know, down in the valley, right? And feeling just bad, just toe up, right? But you know, the Bible tells us to keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. You know, that means you got to remember a couple of things, right? You know, first of all, is that God will put more on you than you can bear.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You know, now if you're sinning, right? If you sin and something happens to you, right? You got to know that God didn't, that's not God, right? You caused that. You caused that to happen, right? But if you're walking in God, right? You're doing what God wants you to do. You're a child of God, right? And situations are going to come in your life. Right? God's going to bring situations to your life, right? You know, you don't need to sit around and say, oh, why is it me? You know, why is this happening to me, right? You know that God has brought this to you for you to deal with.
Yeah.
Amen? For you to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And God knows, God said, hey, brother, if you say, I know you're saying that you can't deal with it, but I know you can. I know you can, right? If you trust in me, right? In me, if you're finding your strength in me, you can deal with this. Right?
Yeah.
And then the Bible tells us, you know, it says that, you know, we need to be in love with God.
Nah.
That means that all that we do, mm-hmm. all that we think about, mm-hmm. we want to be pleasing God.
Yeah.
We want to be pleasing God. Mm-hmm. See, that starts with knowing what the word says, right? Knowing what the word says, so we know how to please God. We know what's acceptable and pleasing to God, right? And we praying to God and asking God to, God, direct me, to show me the way to go, right? Steer me in the right direction, right? Show me my pathway that I need to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us that we need to take a look inward. In verse number 21, in the book of Jude, you know, take a look inward,
yeah.
Right? Right? You know, That verse says, but you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, mm-hmm. praying in the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. keep yourself in the love of God, mm-hmm. looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, mm-hmm. unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Jude is earnestly wanting us to do.
Yeah.
Earnestly wanting us to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, contending for the faith. It's not a license to have outbursts of rage.
Mm-hmm.
That's not godly. That's not what God wants us to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what God wants us to do, right? Mm-hmm. God wants us to whatever we say must be pleasing to the hearer, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where our attitude should be, right? That's where our attitude should be, right? We are called to vigorously contend for the faith with the weapons at our disposal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just going out creating new things, right? It's not just going out doing what we want to do, right? We need to do it with the weapons that we've been that's exposed to us, the weapons that the word says that we have.
Yeah.
You know, and what we need to do, what we need to do as Christians, right? We need to be watchful.
Mm-hmm.
Watchful.
Mm-hmm.
In these last days.
Yeah.
In these troublesome times,
amen.
Right, of men and women coming among us,
yes.
coming among us, right, that are false teachers, right,
oh.
they're lovers of themselves, right, oh. that will lead us astray.
Yes, yes.
And we need to contend for the faith. We need to contend for the faith.
Amen.
Now, you know, even before you get there, right, even before you be able to contend for the faith, right, you must be a child of God. See, this whole message I preached this evening about contending for the faith, if you're not a child of God, it does you no good.
Right.
It does you no good,
right?
Right? You need to understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth,
mm-hmm.
and he walked on this earth,
mm-hmm.
and he had his ministry,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's teaching, and he's leading by example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he died,
yeah.
for our sins.
Yeah.
He died for my sins and your sins. He died for our sins, right?
Yes,
right? And then he rose in 3 days, right?
Yes,
rose in 3 days, right? And now he's sitting on the right-hand side of God,
amen.
Having all power,
yes.
All power. You know, so first thing, you know, is that we need to hear about the gospel. See, the good news is because Jesus Christ died on the earth, right? We have a chance to be reconciled with God, right? Through Jesus Christ, right? And the thing is that you need to believe. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you need to do, because Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Yeah. Diligently seek him. Yeah. That's constantly seeking after him. Yeah. And then you need to repent. Repenting is that anytime that you are doing something contrary to the word of God, mm-hmm. you have to recognize that. You have to recognize that, right? And repenting is that you have a change of mind. You don't want to do it your way, right? You don't want to do it the way you've been doing it. You want to do it God's way. That's what repentance is all about. That's what repentance is all about. And you know, repenting happens in the mind first. That's where it starts. Happens in the mind first, right? Now, the things that you really want to do to be pleasing and acceptable to God, right, you need to do that through the power of God. You need to be used. You need to tap into the power of God to get those things done. So your repentance starts in your mind. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. You say, I want to do this. I want to do this, right? Now, for those of you who are children of God, right, you repent and pray. If you find that you're doing something contrary to God, you just repent and pray, right? And then you tap into the power of God, right? And God can help you live the life, do the things that be pleasing and acceptable unto him. Amen. But for those who are not in the family of God, right, you know, after you repent, right, you must confess. Because the Bible tells us, right, that for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Bible says, right? And what you got to confess, you got to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you need to confess, right? Then once you make that confession, right, then you submit yourself to baptism. Because baptism is where God goes to work. Amen? Baptism in the water is where God cleanses all your sins, right? You come up out of that water a new creature, right? With the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Then through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, you can change your life, right? Then you have that power. You have the ability to tap into that power to do the things you need to do to be pleasing and acceptable unto God. See, that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. And then you must live faithful until the day you die. Till the day you die. And while you own this earth, right, living for Jesus Christ, you must earnestly contend for the faith. Right? You must earnestly contend for the faith. Because without a doubt, if the Bible says it, then it's true. Then it's true. It may not be happening to you right now. Right? You may not see it right now. Right? But that doesn't make it false. The Bible is always true. The Bible always true. But I just want to tell you tonight, right? Jude wanted us to earnestly contend for the faith, right? Because he said among us, right, is going to creep in these types of people. These types of people. And when we see them creeping in, right, each of us individually and collectively must contend for the faith. Must contend for the faith. So that's what Jude wants. And Jude wants it, and it's in the Bible. That's what God wants. That's what God wants us to do. So now if you take a look at your life, right, and you're where you are, right, and you say, hey, well, I've been letting stuff slide, you know. I noticed some things, right, and I didn't contend for the faith, right. I didn't do that, Brother Feaster. You know, I've seen some things and I've heard some things, right? And I bear witness to some things, right? And me individually didn't contend for the faith. Then it's simple. For you, children of God, you need to repent and pray. Yeah. Tap into the things. Tap into the power of Jesus Christ, right? Tap into the power of Jesus Christ and be bold and earnestly contend for the faith. Yeah. If you're not a child of God, I want to beseech you. I want to encourage you. You heard the message tonight, right? I want to encourage you to give your life to God, because that's where it all begins. That's where you could tap into this power that Jesus Christ has to change your life from what it is now to what he wants you to be.
Oh, yeah.
As we stand and sing the song of invitation.